ahead and get started. And just in case you're not sure where you're at, this is the workshop on what we should believe about the Holy Spirit. So if you came to learn about marriage, this is not the place. Suffering and joy, no, sorry. Stewardship, no. But the Holy Spirit, this is the right place. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just come before you today, God. And Lord, we just pray for your Spirit to fall on us, Lord God. And pray that you would just open our ears and our hearts, Lord, to just receive more from you, God. And Lord, I just thank you so much that you've given us the Spirit, Lord, to help us, Lord God, teach us, to comfort us, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, the women would see, Father, what you intended when you sent the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And so we just pray that you would just anoint this time, Lord God, in Jesus' name today. Okay, well, our workshop again is titled What You Should Believe About the Holy Spirit. And I guess the first question that we should ask is, who is the Holy Spirit? And let's turn to 1 Timothy 3:16 to start off with. Here, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. You know, the Holy Spirit is kind of a mystery to a lot of us. We're not sure, like, what is the Holy Spirit? Where does he fit into the whole scheme of things? And in verse 16, it says, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. And you know, in that one verse right there, it talks about the Trinity. All three persons are named there. The Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's three persons in one. The first mention of the Holy Spirit is in the very first book, in the very first chapter, in the very first verse of the Bible. It's in Genesis 1:1. Is the very first mention of the Holy Spirit. And just read the first four words. In the beginning, God. And when it talks about God there, in the Hebrew, the singular word for God is El, E-L. The dual tense is Elah, E-L-A-H. But a tense that means three or more is Elohim. And in this verse right here, in the beginning, God, it's Elohim. In the beginning, Elohim. Three persons here. Okay, so right off the very beginning of the Bible, it's talking about the three persons of Trinity of Christ. It's also used in Deuteronomy 6:4. It's also used in Genesis 1:26. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image. Let us make man. It wasn't just God. It was the Trinity. Let us make God to make man in our image. You know, the Holy Spirit has a lot of different characteristics. One of the characteristics, which is set in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, is that he searches and he has knowledge. He has knowledge. In verse 12, it says that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts as he wills. In Romans 8:27, it says that the Holy Spirit has a mind. In Romans 15:20, it says that he loves us. In John 15, verses 26 and 27, it says that he will testify of Jesus, bringing inner conviction to the unbeliever. And in John 16, 13, it says he will guide you in all truth. Let's turn to John 14. And we're going to read verses 16 through 18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Well, the first thing I think about when I read that scripture is, he's going to send me a helper. Do we need help? Amen. Okay. So we need help just to exist. Okay. We need help to live in this world. We need help to live a Christian walk. We have so many things that are coming against us. Just living in the world, everything is against us, you know, because everything is so upside down. We need a helper. And this helper is going to abide with us, not just for a season, not just for a time, but it says right here, forever. The helper is going to abide with us forever. And the world cannot see it. You know, you really need to be saved. You need to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's part of the whole process of salvation, is that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God dwells within you. So now you have that helper dwelling within you. And here in this section, it also, all three members of the Trinity are mentioned here as well. Here Jesus prayed to the Father, and the Father gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is active in this world, but the world doesn't see him. You know, you think a lot about when you do things, and maybe you have some friends or you have some family members that aren't saved, and they always wonder, you know, why do you go to church more than once a week? Or even every week, you know, and why do you go for a whole weekend? You spend a lot of money to go away with a bunch of women on retreat. And why do you do this? And why don't you do that? And so on and so forth. You know, there's just things that the world and those that don't have the Lord, they just don't understand. And that's one of the differences between the believer and the unbeliever. And so it says here that the world doesn't know him, but we do. The world doesn't understand the Spirit, but we understand the Spirit because it's living within us. You know, in Acts it also says that the Holy Spirit speaks. And it talks about as the people were ministering to the Lord, it was the Holy Spirit that said something. Let's turn to that. Acts 13:2. You know, the book of Acts, we can find lots of mention of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful book to read if you want a better understanding of what the Holy Spirit is all about. Acts 13:2 says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, this is where the Holy Spirit is speaking, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. You know, another thing that the Holy Spirit does, in Romans 8 it says that he intercedes for us. That is great to have that Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf. In 1 John, and also in John, it says that he teaches us. And one thing that I can say about the role of the Holy Spirit in teaching us is that it's kind of a simple process when you read the Bible the first time. You read it through and you kind of, you know, you understand it, kind of, sort of, a little bit. And then you go and you listen to a pastor who is really anointed to be able to explain it. So then you, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you thought you understood it, but now all of a sudden you understand it even more. And then as you read it over and over, you know, maybe you're going through the Bible for your fifth or sixth time, you know, the Holy Spirit really opens up your mind and you start to understand it even more and more and more, because he's teaching you deeper and deeper and deeper things of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is our teacher, is a real, real key role that he plays in our lives as Christians. Some of the other things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in Ephesians, it tells us that he can be grieved by us. You know, in Hebrews, it says that the Holy Spirit can be insulted by us. That was like, oh, that really just grieved me to think that things I've done have insulted the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be lied to in Acts 5, verse 3. The Holy Spirit can be blasphemed. I'm sure many of you have heard the term, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure what that is, that is like the one unpardonable sin. And what that is that is a refusal to heed to the voice of the Holy Spirit to accept the forgiveness that God, that Jesus Christ offers. If you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has convicted you and is trying to woo you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you reject that, and you die, that is the unpardonable sin. So it doesn't matter if you have lied, cheated, stolen, maybe you committed adultery, maybe you're living a life of sin in you know, who knows what ways. None of those things are things that cannot be forgiven. The only thing that won't be pardoned is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that is refusing to heed the Holy Spirit's conviction and receiving the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about some of the attributes of God and Holy Spirit. Okay, God is eternal, right? In Hebrews, in chapter 9, verse 14, it talks about the Spirit being eternal. God is omniscient. Omniscient. Okay. In Acts, chapter 15, verse 18, and also in 1 Corinthians 2:10, it's revealed to them through us, which is the Spirit. Things are being revealed to them through us, and it's talking about the Spirit here. It's talking about how the Spirit searches all things. God is also omnipresent. And in Psalm, David says that the Spirit is everywhere. And so these are just ways to show you that God and the Spirit are all one. There are many works of the Holy Spirit. We already know from reading Genesis how the Holy Spirit worked together. And Psalm also talks about it in chapter 104. It also talks about how the Spirit played a role in creation. One of the things in 2 Corinthians that it talks about as far as the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit gives life. And that's in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Not only does he give life, but in John chapter 6, verse 63, it says the Spirit makes us alive. Gives life and it makes us alive. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1:21. It says here, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The holy men of God that were moved and spoke, you know, the men who wrote the Bible, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't man writing the Bible. It was the Holy Spirit moving them to these words. God speaking through them, through the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit also works with the Father and the Son in the ministries of the church. And during the rest of our study, we're probably going to spend a lot of time in 1 Corinthians 12 because it's going to talk a lot about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks a lot about how the Father and the Son and the Spirit all work together. And then God works with us through the Holy Spirit. Thank goodness he does, because as believers, we are convicted in the things that we do, or the things that we're supposed to be doing, or our disobedience, or our sin, or whatever, because of the Holy Spirit. That's what gives us that little conviction of things that, you know, kind of like our little poker here, the Holy Spirit dealing with us that way. You know, back to the Holy Spirit being our helper. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts to help us to discern things, to help us to understand things, to help us to know things. He is our helper in so many different ways. He helps us to see things. He helps us to see things in a spiritual realm. Not like we see things in the world, but in a spiritual realm. He teaches us things. He teaches us how to understand. He teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how to intercede. He teaches us how to minister to somebody else. So that role of helper and teacher is just so, so important. Now, once you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you're able to understand the things of God beyond our own intellect, beyond our own experience. In 2 Corinthians, it talks about the things that are not seen. And even it talks about our theme verse for this retreat, about believing even though we didn't see. Okay, go back to Thomas, and you know, he needed proof. He needed to, like, poke Jesus and say, is that really you? He needed to see something. But we don't have Jesus here today in the flesh that we can go up and poke and say, is that really you? But we have a spirit that will show us things. We have a spirit that will allow us to believe those things that the world cannot understand. One of the things I think is a really, really key important role of the Holy Spirit is he brings to remembrance scripture when we need it. And in John 14:26, it really talks about how he does bring those things to remembrance. And think about a moment maybe when you were ministering to somebody and you needed the right word for them. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to give you that right verse to share with them. You know, because I don't know anybody that's memorized the whole Bible. That's just a lot of scripture to memorize. But there are things that we've read, the Holy Spirit will bring back to our mind when the time is necessary. What's key to that is that you have to read your Bible so that they can be there together. I mean, that's really important. But praise God that the Holy Spirit will bring those things back into our remembrance right when we need them. You can turn with me. You might already be there. 2 Peter. And we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 3. And it says here, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. See, along with that, all things that pertain to life and godliness and the divine power that he's given to us, along with that comes discernment. And the discernment is something that I feel as Christians is so, so critical to have, especially if you're listening to Bible teachings on the radio or you're flipping channels and you're listening to a lot of those Bible teachings on the TV. You have to have discernment, which the Holy Spirit will give you, to know what's true and what's false. And that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to really give us that feeling inside of what's true and what's not, and what's not true. There are just so many teachings out there right now that are just slightly twisted. And that slight twist is going to cause you to go down a path of false teaching and wrong thinking. It's so important that when you sense that discernment, you check it out. You know, it doesn't matter who's teaching. It doesn't matter who the name of the person is. It doesn't matter who the title of the person is. It doesn't matter if that person has a mega church or a very small church. You're still responsible to go back to the scriptures and verify and test what is being taught. So if the Holy Spirit is nudging you that something is just not right, you just can't put your finger on it, go find out. Go seek out what the Word says, because that is a good thing, a good little nudging to have. It's not, if you're not sure, go check it out. Before I was saying, I used to call it mother's intuition. But now I know it's discernment. Okay. In John 16, it tells us that he will show us things to come. And he will also help us to understand those things and give us insight. The power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Greek word, dunamis, is where we get our word dynamite. And that's where it talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the comparison, is that power is like dynamite. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, it tells us that we're supposed to wait for the promise. Well, what promise is that? Well, let's look at that. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power, and that's the word dunamis in the Greek, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria. So So that is the promise that he's talking about, that we're going to receive power. We're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be bold witnesses, to do the things that he's called us to do that may be out of our comfort zone. But those are the things that the Holy Spirit is going to show us on how to accomplish that and give us what we need to accomplish that. Even in the Old Testament in Joel, it says there that the Father said in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And in John 20, it tells Jesus in his own words tells us that we should receive the Holy Spirit. We need that power in our life. We don't want to walk around feeling powerless against this world. We need the power to survive, to be a witness, to be bold, to be able to do the work that the Father has called us to do, and just to survive in this world. You know, it's really impossible to live the Christian life without the Spirit dwelling within us. It's just, you just can't do it. It's just impossible. And in Matthew, Jesus tells us that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And how many of you can relate to that? I'm sure every single one of us can. There are just times in our life where the older you get, the more the flesh is weak. But the Spirit is always willing. And Paul reminds us, too, I mean, through his journeys, through his time, he reminds us just how difficult life was, how difficult it is to live in the world. Even back then, even in Galatians and Romans, he reminds us of how difficult it is. You know, in Romans 8, it also talks about having a freedom living in the Spirit. You know, we don't live in, we don't walk in a legalistic way. We live according to the freedom of the Word and the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And that might be different for different people. One thing's going to convict somebody, and another thing might not convict them. So everybody has their own convictions. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you for your own protection, for your own good, and we have freedom in that. We must allow the Spirit to change us. There's this program on TV, and it's called True Beauty. And it's these young people that are very beautiful on the outside. And they're going through this competition, and the competition, they think, is about who's going to be the most beautiful person, and the winner gets to be on People magazine. Woohoo! So the thing is that the whole time there's like all these secret cameras that are filming their attitudes, their behaviors, and what they're really being judged for, but they don't know, is their inner beauty. And so their inner beauty gets exposed on television. And some of the things are pretty ugly, the things that, you know, to see their attitudes and stuff. But just take that step further. Just think of all the stuff that we have inside that nobody sees but God. Whew, boy. And so we need the Holy Spirit to come in and change those things within us. We need to be transformed from the inside out. You know, it doesn't matter if you look like you have it all together. If you're, you know, a rotten person on the inside, then it just, you know, the beauty on the outside is just going to fade away. And for you young people, the older you get, the more it's going to fade away. It just doesn't happen, you know. It's kind of sad. Every year when I come on retreat, I feel like I bring more and more bags, and they're like, you know, makeup and lotion and all this stuff. I'm like, crazy. I was telling one of the girls in our room, she's a young girl, and, you know, she just puts her hair in a ponytail, and she has no makeup on, and she looks great. I'm like, I would never go out the door like that. I just need a mask at all. But it's really important that we allow the Holy Spirit to change us. We can't do it on our own. It's just impossible. So we need the Spirit to do it. And as we yield to the Spirit, he's going to conform us to the image of Christ. And that's what our goal is. Our goal is to be like Jesus. We'll never be just like Jesus, because he was perfect, and we are definitely not. But it's a process that we're going to live through to be conformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that work begins when we invite Christ into our life. And I hope that every one of you ladies who are in this room has already done that. They've already asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And if you have, the Spirit is working within you and is starting to do the work to change you into the image of Christ. And like Julie said, you know, from glory to glory. And it's a lifelong process. It's not going to happen overnight. You're going to learn, and you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to learn, and you're going to make mistakes, you know, but you just keep pressing forward toward that goal. And that's the call of Christ Jesus. All right, I'm sure most of you have heard that there are fruits of the Spirit, right? You know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting when I read it today, I'm reading this little booklet that Pastor Chuck had written about the Holy Spirit. And I realized that it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's like a singular word. I'm like, oh, but they list all these fruits. Okay, so let's turn there. Galatians 5. That's kind of like one of those things where you read it in your Bible like, you know, 15, 20 times, and you're like, you always call it the fruits of the Spirit. I'm just like, oh, there's just one. There's no S in that word. What happens? Okay, but it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And as I look around, I know that this is filled with a room of ladies that have all mastered all of these things. Just that. And actually, because that's a singular word, fruit, what it is the word, the first word is love, and then love is followed by 8 adjectives that actually define love. Okay? And I'm going to read you something from this book about the fruit and all of its adjectives that go with it. Okay. Okay, so we have love. Okay, we have joy. Joy is love's consciousness. When we love, we are so filled with joy that even normally miserable tasks are pleasurable. All right, so all of you are filled with joy, right? So tomorrow when you get home and the sink is filled with dirty dishes, you are with joy. You do that miserable task and it will be pleasurable, right? Okay, good. Okay, the next one is peace. Peace is more than the cessation of hostilities. Love that wishes no ill is the basis for true peace. Love that wishes no ill is the basis for true peace. Next one is patience, or long-suffering. This is the characteristic of love that makes us kind after continually being mistreated and without keeping track of the offenses. So you can be mistreated time and time and time and time again. And you're not constantly bringing that up and remembering that, okay? Okay, the next one. Love is gentle. It's not harsh or abrasive. Reminds me of a Brillo pad. You do not want to be a Brillo pad, right? Okay. The next one, goodness. Love is the only positive motive for goodness. Why else would you do anything good? Some people are good because they fear the consequences of doing something wrong, but that is not true goodness. It's all about your motive. It's all about what's in your heart, right? Okay, then we have faith. The faith mentioned in this verse is not the gift of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12:9, but is a loving trust in people, having faith in people. You know, I think about 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about believing in all things, hoping in all things. You know, excuse me, having faith in people, believing the good in people. That's a fruit. Meekness does not vaunt itself and does not seek praise and honor. You know, just there's just a humility that we as Christian women should have. And then the last one, self-control. That's a tough one. Does anybody have, like, anybody in your life that knows how to push your buttons? I do. And you know, it's so funny. And that's where we really need to demonstrate self-control. Our reaction kind of shows people what kind of Christians we are. How we respond to things can be good and it can be not so good. Temperance is moderation. But all of these characteristics of agape love are the result of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And these are things that we may struggle with some of them more than others, but there are things that we're going to have to work through for the rest of our life. But the Holy Spirit will definitely help us through those times. We want to be good fruits, right? Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. This is where we can grow in spiritual wisdom. You know, the Spirit's going to search things, and He's going to reveal things, the deep things of God. As we walk with the Lord longer and longer, we should have a yearning, we should have a passion, we should have a desire to want more of the deeper things of God. I like what Julie talked today about the different stages of our life that, you know, that really measure our faith in the whole stagnancy issue. And one of the things that really kind of like clicked me was that whole, like, I called it the midlife crisis, but she called it the midlife believer. But, you know, it's like a midlife crisis too, you know, because I think sometimes I totally felt like, you know, I've been in that realm of just, you know, things are going so, and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, but it's just like sometimes the passion and the joy is just kind of not there. And it's really refreshing to me. There's this one gal that has just recently come to our church, and she has so much energy and passion and joy for the Lord. And to me, it's just like, I want to be around that person. I want that to rub off on me again. I want to go back to those first days when, you know, I wanted to be at church every day, and I wanted to be studying the Bible, and I always read it. And it was all about, you know, just wanting to grow and stuff. And those were fun days. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden, just, I don't know if it's laziness, if it's tiredness, if it's age, but I need to get out of my midlife crisis for sure. And so that's one thing that we really should yearn for, is the deep things of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit is going to help us with. He's going to search all things. He's going to reveal those things to us. And He's going to make the Word of God much more clear as we continue to seek Him. You know, man cannot understand because he doesn't have the Spirit. But we have the Spirit. So there's going to be things that we're going to, that's going to be revealed to us because we have that, but it is not going to be revealed to other men. And we need to yearn for that. And plus it says that, you know, it can appear foolishness to men. You know, the Word, some of the Scriptures appear foolishness to men. The ones that don't know, the unbelievers, it's foolishness to them. But to us, it makes total sense. And that's what we need to be, is understanding and communicating with the Lord through the Spirit, not allowing men to influence on us on our walk or on anything that we're doing. You know, when you sit down and you read the Word, you should really just start by praying and asking the Holy Spirit to open up your mind. Open up your mind. Open up your heart. Ask Him to reveal things to you to have a deeper understanding. In Acts chapter 2, in verses 1 through 4, you know, it talks a lot about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Luke. Let's read Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I like what Wendy taught this morning about the Bible being true, and it is inerrant. And it is. And with Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptized you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. All right, so that's talking about Jesus coming and that He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus also told us when He left that He was going to send us a helper, and that's the Holy Spirit. So even though Jesus wasn't here in the flesh anymore, His Spirit is still here. Can you turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 2? Spirit. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all there with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. This is talking about the Holy Spirit falling afresh on them. It's talking about the gift of tongues being exercised here. And one of the things that's really a debate in the church today is whether or not the gifts are for today. And we at Calvary Chapel believe that they are. And I believe that the gifts are for today. You know, if you believe the Word of God, and it says Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, then they're for us too. Praise God for that. In 1 Corinthians 12, it tells us that we're not supposed to be ignorant of the gifts. And there are diversities of the gifts. And they're given to one for the profit of all, to benefit the church, to exalt Jesus. And we are to earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, if the gifts weren't for today, it would almost be like all of these scriptures would be pointless. Like, why would they even be here if they weren't necessary for us to receive it or to understand? One of the things that really kind of spoke to me as I was studying was how we are to earnestly desire the best gifts. Okay, so you might say, okay, well, I have the gift of tongues, or I have the gift of interpretation, or I have the gift of blah, 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 blah. But you know what? It's not about the gift that you have. It's about the gift that is necessary at any given moment. It depends on the circumstance. Okay, so, for example, if you just want to communicate your praise and love to Jesus in your quiet time, in your prayer closet, you know, what gift would you desire earnestly at that point? You want the gift of tongues so that you could communicate to him in a way that was just intimate between you and him, right? And what if somebody was ill? Wouldn't you want the Lord to touch you and the Spirit to give you the gift of healing? Isn't that what you would want for that moment? If someone needs encouragement, wouldn't you want that gift of a word to encourage them, to help them to be able to feel better? The gift of wisdom. You know, there's a difference between the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. Knowledge is just an assimilation of facts. Wisdom is the application of that knowledge. The gift of discernment. I think we all need that. I think it's so necessary. We need discernment if we're moms raising kids, because we just need to know. You know, as I remember growing up, my mom would always say, when you get in trouble for something, you know, and she'd always get busted or whatever, you know. I'm like, how did you know that? I have eyes in the back of my head. But we need the discernment, because we need to know what's going on in the lives of our kids. We may not know the exact details, but we need to know when something's wrong, when something's off, when something's not right, and that discernment is just so, so critical. And for many, many situations. Even when you're ministering to somebody or counseling somebody, sometimes you can just discern in your spirit that maybe they're just not being totally honest with you, or maybe they're hiding a sin, and you just need to, you know, just really confront them about that. You know, the Holy Spirit is going to help you for the purpose of that person, to benefit them for their walk and for that situation. I loved what Pastor Brian talked about when he talked about Peter and how Peter had walked on the water. And for many of us, we need the gift of faith. You know, we need to just, you know, kind of get out of the boat. All right, it's time. It's vacation's over. Okay, not on the cruise ship anymore. We need to get out of that boat, and we just need to start walking on water. You know, there's ministries that the Spirit has been, like, you know, wooing you to go back to church and start getting involved in those ministries. Start doing the work of the Lord. Maybe there's a neighbor that lives right next door to you or on your street. The Spirit's been saying, go share with him. Go take a cup of coffee. Go, you know, make them a little cake. Take it over and share that gift of hospitality with them. You know, just whatever it is that the Spirit's wanting you to do, do it. Just do it. Be obedient. There's also the gift of helps. There's the gift of hospitality. And, you know, all of us can have the gift of hospitality. You don't have to have a gorgeous home. You don't have to have fine china. You don't have to have even a dining room table to sit at. All you have to have is a heart that invites people to want to be around you and bring them into your home and share with them the love of Jesus Christ. Make a pot of tea, coffee, go buy some Chips Ahoy. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything elegant or anything. Just be hospitable and allow other people to come into your home and see what it's like to be around a Christian woman and live a Christian life. There's also the gift of organization. Some people have it and some people don't, and that's totally okay. You know who you are that have it, and you know who you are that don't. There's also the gift of leadership. Some people were called to be leaders of ministries or of of churches and things like that. Other people were not called to be leaders. They were just called to serve. Some people know that their calling is to serve totally behind the scenes, and you never see them. I love those people because the things that we take for granted are done. You know, I just love going to the church and knowing that the bathrooms are clean. You might not see anybody cleaning them, but boy, if there's a full roll of toilet tissue in there and the sinks are clean, I am happy. There's also the gift of teaching. Not everybody is gifted to teach. You'll know who is and who isn't by listening to them. There's the gift of exhortation. That's one thing I can say about Lisa. She totally has the gift of exhortation. And as you can tell, when she listens to a study, she'll get up and she'll encourage you. And she'll hit things on the nail that are so applicable, that application of taking that teaching and encouraging you in your walk. And when you talk to her, most of the time you talk, you're going to walk away feeling encouraged to do whatever it is that you didn't feel like doing or didn't want to do or were running from or whatever. She is totally an encourager. There's also the gift of tongues and interpretation. You know, Jesus said in Mark that the gift of tongues would be a sign for a believer. It doesn't mean that you have to speak in tongues if you're a believer. It just happens to be a sign that you are a believer. Like if you weren't a believer, then you would be speaking in tongues, right? As we read in Acts, it says the Spirit gave them utterance and they heard different dialects. That was like, you know, when the Spirit first said, okay, this is what we're going to do. That is so, so exciting to be a part of that. Paul says that we should also use the gift of tongues, in our private devotion to communicate with God. When you're unsure how to pray, pray in tongues, because then it's just a communication between you and the Lord. You may not know what you're saying, but God understands. Pastor Chuck says, if a person does not want to use the gift of tongues in his prayer life, he has probably magnified his intellect to the point that he will not say anything that his intellect cannot grasp. Therefore, his prayer life is limited to whatever his language is, like in our case, the English, and he misses out in a rich dimension of his prayer life. This doesn't mean that he's not saved. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have other gifts, but sometimes we get so caught up in the intellectual part of our walk, of the Holy Spirit, of the gifts, that we're missing out on something. And that's one thing, I think, when it comes to the gift of tongues. You know, to be quite honest, sometimes it just freaks people out to hear the gift of tongues. Who's saying that? What is it? What's going on? You know, it's just really uncomfortable for them. They're missing out, and if you are limiting your prayer life and you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to, stir up that gift in you, you're missing out. And I hope that at the end of this time today, if that's something that you feel that you need, we're going to have people here that will pray with you to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So how do you receive the gifts? I missed something that I want to go over real quick. Oh, the purpose of the gifts. This is a little book, and if you have a chance to get it, it's a very simple reading. Brian Brodersen wrote it, and it's called The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can probably read it in about 15, 20 minutes. And it goes through the different gifts, but there's a couple things in here that I wanted to read you that he wrote, because I thought it was really kind of good. It says, God has given the gifts of the Holy Spirit to his people so that they might be used to build up the body of Christ. Okay, so it's not about you, it's about others, right? Okay, a mature and healthy fellowship will naturally have the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Now, it doesn't mean that every single service that you go to, you're going to see the gifts active. They're supposed to be done in order, and the pastor really has control over the service to know when and when not. Tonight, usually on Saturday night, after our teaching, there's usually an afterglow time, and that would be a total appropriate time to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you have certain gifts, if you have the gift of tongues, if you have a word of knowledge, that would be a time that would be appropriate to exercise those gifts. It is unfortunate that people hold the position that the gifts have ceased because they have robbed themselves of much of what God wants to do in and especially through their lives. Since the gifts are given for the profit of all, we should earnestly desire the best gifts. There is one important point I want to make. The gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:8 through 10 are not permanent possession of any believer, but rather the potential experience of every believer. I thought that was really just a key statement to be said. The gifts of the Spirit mentioned are not the permanent possession of any believer, but rather the potential experience of every believer. Every believer here has the potential to experience the gifts of the Spirit. The name of this book is a little booklet called The Gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it is by Brian Broderson. And I think we have these in our bookstore, so if you go to La Mirada, I think we have these in our bookstore. And if you don't, just ask Lori or Phil to order them, and they'll get them for you. There's also this other book that I use a lot for my study, too, and it's Pastor Chuck Smith's Study Guide on the Holy Spirit. So if you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, this is good, too, and it's real easy reading. You could read it, you know, the way that Pastor Chuck puts things is so easy to understand, and I just love that. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, that's different from water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a whole different experience that we have as Christians. It doesn't mean that you can't be baptized with the Holy Spirit when you become saved, but it's not always something that happens at the same time. But it's something that we should want in our life, because we want that power of the Holy Spirit. We want those gifts to be able to help us to survive in this world. And again, we're supposed to desire earnestly. We shouldn't be passive about that. You know, oh yeah, God, I want to get the Holy Spirit. Yeah, someday if you want to get to me, okay, great. No, we should really desire that. Something that we should really, really want. And in Romans 8:6, it says that God distributes them as he wills. And he tells us that we're supposed to use them. He says, let us use them. So it's not just desiring them, but now let's use them. Got them? Let's use them. A few years ago, we had a women's retreat, and it was called On Fire. You guys remember that? Some of you were here, On Fire? That was cool. And that was all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6. Remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, we're supposed to desire the gifts. We're supposed to develop the gifts. It should be like a fire blazing inside of us. That's what he means when he says stir it up. Don't let your gift go stagnant. Like we learned earlier today, don't let your faith go stagnant. Don't let your gift go stagnant either. You need to stir that up. And today, you really need to consider whether or not you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, whether or not you want that power to walk your Christian walk, to be able to minister to other people, and how to go about doing it. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you desire that, there will be ladies up here that will pray with you for that. If you're going to think about it, that's okay. Think about it. Tonight, go to the altar. There will be ladies there that can pray with you for it. Desire earnestly the gifts. God wants to give you these things. He wants you to have power in your life. And you know what? All you have to do is ask. If you are a willing vessel, he will give those things. He gave us promises, and one of the promises was the Holy Spirit. So don't hold back. Don't think about what your friend is thinking. Oh my gosh, you know, what if this happens? It's between you and the Lord, and that's all it's between. So desire those things. If you need prayer, if you have any questions, please come up to the front here. I'll be here for a little while. Tonight, ask any of the ladies that are in leadership, any of the mature ladies that are around, ask them about it. A lot of ladies I'm looking at here have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They have gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've seen them exercise them. Don't hold back, ladies. Go home with power. Go home with dynamite. Go home that changed person. That's what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is truth. We thank you, Lord God, for the help that you sent us, your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you would, your spirit today, Lord, would touch every one of these women's hearts, Lord, and show each one of these women which gift you desire for them, Lord God, which gift, Lord God, you want to see stirred up, Lord. For those, Lord, that have just put their gifts on a shelf, Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, they would take them off that shelf, and they would start to exercise them again, Lord God, that you would give them the power from on high, Lord, that you would put that dynamite back in them, Lord God, for the purpose of building up your church, for the purpose of edifying others, Lord God, so that they can grow in their faith, Lord God, so that they can proclaim who you are by just their countenance, Lord God. I just thank you so much for what you're going to accomplish here the rest of this weekend, Lord. I just pray for tonight, Lord God, that you would do great and mighty things, Lord. We thank you so much for what you've already done, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would continue to bless us, Lord. And also, bless our free time. May the ladies have sweet fellowship, Lord God. May they enjoy the surroundings here, Lord God. And may we just all be